you now.
Yes, we are standing on holy ground. And I know there are angels all around.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many of you enjoyed Brother Jewel Thorny here on Wednesday night? He just preached a great sermon, didn't he? Just a tremendous time. We're here tonight. Brother Darrell Ward's going to be speaking for us this weekend. We're just looking forward to what God would have for us. I believe we're going to have a great time. I'd rather believe that than just believe, well, just Darrell's here. A lot of people gone. We'll just try to struggle through. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to struggle through nothing. We're here to have church. We're here to worship the Lord. We're here to have a good time in the Lord. Amen. Well, we're glad you're here tonight. Amen. All those that are traveling different places, the meeting in South Carolina and wherever they would be, we just pray God would bless them, give them traveling mercies. But we're glad to be here tonight. Let's stand to our feet, if you will. Let's sing that little chorus again. We're standing in His presence on holy ground. Do you believe that tonight? Not that this ground here, but I tell you what, this message is a holy message. Where we stand in Christ, it's a holy, reverent place. Are you glad to be part of God's economy? Give Him a real good hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him with all your heart. Yes, we are standing on holy ground, and I know there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, why don't you shake hands with somebody around you? You may have to walk a little bit, but it'll be all right. Give them a good greeting. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brethren, good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sing a little bit of that tonight. I'm feeling so much better talking about this good old way. I'm feeling so much better talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on talking about that. Let's go on talking about the Lord. I'm feeling so much better. I'm feeling so much better. So now let's go on talking about that good old way. Let's go on, let's go on talking about the Lord. several prayer requests tonight. You can be seated while we look at these if you'd like to. Sister Sylvia Barn wants us to remember the lady that she is sitting with. Sister Sylvia turns this in for Sonia King. She's been sent home under hospice care, and they're just asking that we would remember her tonight as we pray, the caregivers, that the Lord would just be with them. Also, Sister Louise McKinney, home with a migraine headache, so we want to remember her tonight as we pray. Sister Judy Weeb wants us to remember her oldest son, who is severely dependent upon drugs, really needs God to work a miracle in his life, so let's remember that tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Sister Christine Baker, home having really severe problems with her knees. Let's remember her tonight as we pray. Brother Eddie Jablonski and Sister Linda Jablonski would like to thank all of God's people for praying for them. They're both now home from the hospital and want to thank the Lord for touching their body. So we praise the Lord for that tonight. Sister Rachel Short wants us to, Rachel Scott wants us to continue to remember Brother Randy in prayer. So let's remember him as we pray. Brother Keith Phillips says, I may be streaming, but I ain't disbelieving. By his stripes, I am healed. Praise the Lord for that tonight. Amen. Brother Gary wants us to remember Sister Lona. He has a lot of pain in her shoulder tonight. Remember her in prayer. Also remember a friend of mine, Zane Vandal, who has had a heart attack. So let's remember those needs tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Joel Moyer, who is praying about his job situation that will remain stable, and also the situation concerning their family, legal matters. So let's remember those folks tonight. I want to pray for Norod, that's Brother Ben Norod's father. His brain is swelling, blood pressure is 200 over 77, and he's having a hard time breathing, so we certainly want to remember that need tonight. Special unspoken prayer request for Brother Frank Williams. The Lord knows all about that need. We'll commit that to the Lord. Sharon Gizen Danner sends this in for Kathy Smith, is in the hospital with heart issues. So let's remember that need tonight. Sister Martha Ann sends this in for her brother James Haven Hutto. He is on kidney dialysis. He's a patient of that. And the sites have got us some real bad bacteria. And they're just asking that we would remember him in prayer tonight. There's more details about that. But the Lord is certainly mindful of all that situation. We just commit it all into the Lord. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about. How many believe we're serving a prayer answering God tonight? Isn't he the greatest thing that ever got a hold of our lives? Isn't he the greatest thing that ever touched you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Paul, good to see you in the service with us tonight. Buddy, why don't you come up here and just pray over these prayer requests as we stand tonight. We just commit all these things unto the Lord. Certainly appreciate Brother Paul getting to be with us. Works a lot, but he gets to stream and listen to all the services. And well, we just appreciate you, buddy. God bless you. Appreciate you.
You guys be praying. Gives me an opportunity to come home for good. We're working on something now, so you be praying. I did want to say real quick, a lot of you don't know it, but I was born blind. I had no pupils, no tear ducts. I was born with glaucoma. They said I'd never be able to see. They prayed for me and I received my sight. If God can do that, he can heal every one of these needs. Let's all go to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we know you're on the throne. Lord, if we just ask, you'll grant it, Lord. We know the angels campeth around them that fear him. There's a group of people here that came together for one purpose, Lord. We all fear you, Lord, and we have these prayer requests here. Lord, there's many needs amongst the people, hands raised. Lord, we ask that you go and touch each and every one with the touch of the Master's hand. For we ask this in your name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, buddy. God bless you. Appreciate you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us in the service tonight, we're certainly glad to have you. All those that would be streaming the service, we pray that this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing an old song of the church tonight. Since Jesus came into my heart. Has there been a change? Has there really been a change since Jesus came into your heart? I need him every day of my life. I fail him, and I'm a flawed human being. But since he's came into my heart, I don't desire to do the things I used to desire to do. How about you? Has he changed your desire? Give him one more real good hand clap of praise if you love him. See if you can find that on the screen, brethren, if you can. Since Jesus came into my heart, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have life in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy for my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have ceased from my wandering and going astray. Oh, sing it! And my sins, which were many, are all washed away.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm happy, so happy. So onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy for my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came in to sing that chorus again. Thank you, Lord. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy for my soul. The sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Since he came into our hearts, we're happy about that, aren't we? You can be seated tonight, Brother John. If you'll come on, buddy, get ready to give us a song tonight. Brother Brandon's going to sing after he sings. We'll have a couple of specials. Brother Darrell, come out and bring us the word of the Lord. But let's sing a little chorus while they're getting ready. It takes a guitar player just a little bit longer to get ready than it does most folks, so we'll give them plenty of time to do that. But let's sing this little chorus together. If you can't help me, don't try to stop me. Get out of my way. We're going on, aren't we? Brother Terry, we'll just go on anyway, won't we? Amen. Give me a key, Brother Larry. If you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run. John and I stand tonight as you sing.
Deeper still as you call me, I am. My little guy always asks me if I'm going to sing this song, and I usually don't know, so next time, Zeke.
This world is not what it was meant to be. All this pain and all this suffering. There's a better place waiting for me in heaven. Every tear will be wiped away. Every sorrow and sin erased. We'll dance on seas of amazing grace in heaven. Oh, in heaven. We're going home where the streets are golden. Every chain is broken. Lord, we want to go. Lord, we want to go home. Where every fear is gone, we're in your open arms, where we belong. We're going home. Lay down our burdens, we lay down our past. We run to Jesus, there's no turning back. Thank God Almighty, we'll be free at last in heaven. Oh, in heaven. Cause we're going home where the streets are golden. Every chain is broken. Lord, we want to go. Yes, we want to go home where every fear is gone. We're in your open arms where we belong. Cause the blind eyes, they will finally see. The dead will rise on the shores of eternity. The trumpet will sound, the angels will sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going home where the streets are golden. Every chain is broken. Lord, we want to go. Lord, we want to go home. Where every fear is gone. We're in your open arms. Where we belong. Yes, the blinded eyes, they will finally see. The dead will rise on the shores of eternity. The trumpet will sound, the angels will sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going home where the streets are golden. Every chain is broken. Lord, we want to go. Lord, we want to go home where every fear is gone. We're in your open arms, where we belong. Oh, where we belong. We're going home. We're going home.
He's on his way out here right now. But did you enjoy this singing tonight? Both those brothers just good singers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sing a little bit more of that.
Lay down my burdens. We lay down our past. We run to Jesus because there's no turning back. Thank God Almighty, we'll be free at last in heaven. Oh, in heaven. We're going home where the streets are golden. Every chain's broken.
Tell you that's some of the sweetest words you'll ever hear. Is going home. I can imagine how Brother Charlie must have felt. Shot down, a prisoner of war. He got his liberation day. He said, "Charlie, you're going home." There's no feeling like it in the world when you know. In just a few hours, they're going to call your name. You're going to hand them your ticket. You're going to step on that plane. They're going to shut that door. It's going to lift off the ground. And you're going home. I'm so glad that we've heard a message that'll carry us home. Amen. Back to where we belong. Hallelujah. And we're not going to be carried home in these old bodies. We're going to have new bodies. To match a new city. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And we're eating the vitamins of the Word. We're eating the vitamins of the Word that'll bring this body change. Oh, hallelujah. We're feasting off the revealed Word that's telling us who we are. Not just who we are, but who we've always been. Amen. We're not going to be, but we are now. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. What a privilege it is, friend, that the book's been opened and our true identity has been revealed in the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. What a privilege it is. Amen. Well, do you love Him tonight? Praise God. Well, we're a little small in number, but it's just more room to shout. Amen. I think we got something to shout about. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with us to the book of 1 Peter. We want to read from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. And also we want to read from St. John chapter 10, verse 10. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's so good to be home. Been home a few weeks. Allie went and got married on me. And so we was home for that. And then Brother Donnie asked us if we'd be here this weekend. And then this is my last weekend home. I'm booked all the way up through October, just every weekend. So this will be the last weekend we'll be home for a while, but it's always good to be home. Amen. And once again, I want to thank everybody that helped us in the wedding, and we just try to get our breath now and, you know, settling back down. And you find out things that people done that you didn't even know that they done. And So once again, I want to thank everybody for all that you've done to help us get Allie married. And I tell you, the next wedding will be a little bit different. When Jessica gets married, I've done figured it out. Mark, I watched him pull out the other night over at the pavilion. He took my daughter. He took my car. He emptied my wallet and left me to clean it up. There gonna be some changes the next time. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad we got them married. It's a beautiful wedding. I want to read now from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, and also 1 Peter chapter 5, 8 and 9, and also St. John chapter 10, verse 10. And while you're reading there, I want to start out, I want you to listen to this quote just before we read these scriptures. It's what we want to base this on tonight and tomorrow, if the Lord will help us. So now Satan is our adversary, and we know, and we're not deceived by his shrewdness and about his devices. We know that he's an evil man, and we know that he's shrewd, and he has lying wonders laying everywhere. And I know that he can work on the body of feelings and make people rely to those old senses and of feelings and so forth. But Lord, he cannot stand. I know that, the church knows that he cannot stand where there's real, true, unadulterated faith is existing. So Satan has devices. Satan is shrewd. Satan is evil. He's got lying vanities laying everywhere. But he cannot stand, oh God, he cannot stand where there's unadulterated faith exists in the hearts of God's people. Amen. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The Bible says this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about. He's not a roaring lion, but he acts like a roaring lion. In other words, he does what a roaring lion does. Walking about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, St. John 10:10, very familiar scriptures. The Bible says this. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now I want you to notice in St. John chapter 10 verse 10, there are two comings he's talking about. There's two comings. Now you're going to receive one of these comings. I don't care if you amen it or not. It's the truth. You're going to receive one of these comings. They're talking about two comings. There's a thief coming. But Jesus said, I am come to give you life. So we see here, there's two comings. And you're going to receive one of them. And what you will receive will depend on what you believe. Amen. Let's bow our heads. I want to speak to you for tonight and in the morning on Satan's devices. Satan's devices. Heavenly Father, thy word is true. Lord, without emotion, without sensation, but solely based on the word of God, we make our stand tonight. For heavens and earth will pass away, but thy word shall never fail. And Lord, the prayer request was great tonight. There were many needs. But not one need greater than you, Lord. So Father God, we do not look to the symptoms. Nor do we look to the situations. But we look to you, Lord. For you are our healer. Hallelujah. You are our comfort, our shield, our buckler, our joy, our peace, our understanding, our father, our bridegroom, our physician. You're our all in our all, Lord, tonight. And we look to you, Lord. May you come and manifest your word. And may every spirit, Lord, that would come against your word tonight, may it be cast down in the name of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. And Lord, when we leave tonight and those are streaming, may there be testimonies come in, Lord, that your word healed them because you said you would do it and you don't lie. Bless your people tonight, Lord, we pray. Father, we're small in number, but we're great in spirit, Lord. For you said where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in their midst. And Father, we believe that tonight. We don't need a house full. We just need a sincere heart who will call you on the scene, Lord, to rise you up out of history and make you the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh God, confirm your word tonight. Forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And the bride says, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Satan's devices. Now, from our scripture reading tonight in verse 8 and verse 9, we understand that Peter is making us aware that there is a contest that is taking place between you and your adversary, the devil. He is telling us in these scriptures that what it is that Satan is trying to do, and he's letting you know what it is that you can do about it. So then we see about verse 8 and by verse 9 that we have a contest. Now, the prophet taught us that a contest is a test of strength. And he said the Indians used to take and put a fire, and they put so many men on the end of each rope and so many men on the end of the other rope. And they would call it a tug of war, a contest of strength. And they would pull the losing party across the fire. And he said, I want to speak a few minutes on contest, upon the greatest contest that there's ever been. And that's between the church and Satan. That great strength of Satan. And we want to speak of the great strength of God in his church. So then we see there is a contest between two strengths. The strength of Satan and the great strength of God in his church. Now, this great contest has been going on for many years, the prophet said. It started in heaven and Satan was kicked out into the earth. And then he became an enemy to God's people. And since then, Satan has used all of his strength and his strategy to try to pull God's people across the fires or into his fires. And we know that who has the most power? God does. I said God does. And God, when he gave his people the best thing he could to combat Satan with, was the word. So this contest, God has given us the best thing that he could give us, and that is his word. Amen. Because the word is God. And who is stronger than God? Well, Brother Darrell, I'm having a lot of problems, but you got the word. Brother Darrell, I'm going through a hard time, but you got the word. Brother Darrell, I'm fighting a great battle, but you got the word. And nobody's greater than God, and God is the word. Amen. If we would look at the positive instead of the negative. Oh, I tell you right now, if we could believe God like we believe the doctor. Come on, somebody. You know I'm telling you the truth. If the doctor says one negative thing, we fall to pieces. And how many times have they been wrong? Let me tell you about doctors. They bury their mistakes. Amen. Don't tell me I worked with them for years. I know how they operate. Amen. Because I operated with them. Amen. Who's stronger than God? The word becomes our strength. The word becomes our strength. You see, if you're trying to face Satan with your feelings, if you're trying to face Satan with your emotions, if you're even trying to face him with your own strength, you will fail. God never gave us our emotions to attack Satan with, but God did give us his word. Amen. God in His church becomes its strength. God in the church becomes its strength to pull Satan into his own fire that he has made. Hallelujah. Listen to me, that the fire ain't for me. I said hell ain't for me. Hell was not created for me. It was created for the devil and his angels. He's trying to pull you into a place you don't belong. Amen. And so the tug of war goes on. That's what Satan wants to do. Amen. Now there's strategies to win contest. If you want to win a contest, you gotta use strategy. It's not a luck of the draw. It's not just come in and sit down. You've got to use strategy. The prophet said you've got to know your enemy. And you've got to know your armor. Amen. We know the enemy. Some of us, we don't have no problem knowing who the enemy is. But some of us, because we never read the Bible and we never pray and we never listen to tapes, we don't know what our armor is. But you not only got to know who the enemy is, you've got to know what you possess to fight him with. Amen. Well, it's going to be quiet tonight, but that's all right. You got to know your enemy and you've got to know your armor. Now, any of you brothers that's been in the military, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. The prophet said the thing to do, to my opinion, is know your enemy. And know your enemy and train for the contest that you're going to have when you meet him. Because you're going to meet him. And know him and know what his strength is. And then train for this contest when you do meet him. For there's one thing for sure. You're going to meet him. So train for the contest. Training for a contest is just like a boxer. His enemy that he's going to meet in a contest to fight, a real good fighter, he studies his opponent. He studies his licks. He knows where he fights, whether he's left-handed, whether he's right-handed, whether he leans forward, whether he leans back. Does he bob his head right before he does an uppercut? You study him. You watch films. You study his move. You see what punch affects him the most. And let me tell you right now, that's exactly what the devil does with you. He'll study your life for years to lay a trap for you. He'll study your weaknesses. He'll do things and see how you react. Well, I tell you right now, if the devil's going to study me, I'm going to study him. Amen. He's a smart fighter. He gets a sparring partner to fight just like his opponent fights him. Amen. And he just said, I think that's a very good thing for a Christian to do. That's right. Now, if you want to start training, start with John 3:16. The golden rule. That'll get you out on the floor. And train for the knockout punches. Oh God. Brother Martin, if I'm going to swing, let me swing a knockout punch. I don't want to go up to the devil. Boop. No, if I hit him, I want him to know he's been hit. Train for the knockout punches because you're going to have to use them. Everybody knows that. You have to train to hit your enemy. So if Satan's going to try to punch at you, you're going to have to learn to hit back. Now, I know we teach our kids not to hit people. I understand that. Play nice. Don't hit people. Be nice. That's okay for the neighborhood. But this ain't Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. Satan ain't your neighbor. I said Satan ain't your neighbor. He's your enemy. You got to train for the knockout punch. Know what his tactics are. Know what he uses against you. You see, some of us, Satan uses the same thing over and over and over again because we never learn. But know your enemy. Know his tactics. Know what he's trying to do. Understand what Satan wants to do to your life. You think he's going to let you come in here week after week and hear the word and talk about a rapture, talk about a great God without challenging you? We're going to be challenged on what we believe. We're going to be tested. Come on, somebody. But don't worry. I've done looked in the back of the book. We win. Amen. Satan ain't your neighbor. He's your enemy. This is the darkest hour the world has ever faced since the beginning of time. There's never been a time in all the world's history that is dark as it is right now. Cancer on the rampage. Sin is on the rampage. Men's hearts are continually evil. There's never been violence, such violence in the land. People want to punch you out just because of the way you voted. I thought this was a democracy. I thought you could vote the conviction of your heart. And all the people who are so tolerant will punch your lights out if you didn't vote the way they thought you should vote. Well, glory be to God. It's violence in the land. Men's hearts are continually evil. Sin is heaped up. There's never been so many tools for Satan to work with as he has right now. The prophet of God, when he was here, never had to face the tools that Satan has against you. Brother Barron didn't know nothing about no internet. He didn't know nothing about no Facebook. Come on, somebody. He didn't know nothing about social media. There's never been a time that Satan has so many devices that he can use to destroy you. Pestilence, earthquakes, immoral dressing, wiles of the devil, the trickery, the deceit. But Peter gave us a warning. He said in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Peter said, stay calm. Don't get upset. Don't get caught up in it. He said, watch, be aware of what's happening. Peter said, be sober. Don't be drunk on Laodicea. Don't be intoxicated by this age. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, I want you to understand tonight, you have an enemy, as you well know. And that enemy has a desire. There is walking among us tonight a thief. And we're short on deacons. But there's a thief. There's a thief in this building tonight. Oh my God. I left the car unlocked. Better lock up the car. Listen to me tonight. He don't want your car. He don't want your money. Don't grab a hold of your wallet and hang on to it. He ain't after your money. He ain't after your iPhone. He wants you. Jesus said the thief cometh not but for one reason. To kill, to steal, to destroy. He said, hell, Brother Darrell, he won't come after me. He will. Well, I'm young. He don't care. Well, I'm old. He don't care. Well, I'm married. He don't care. I'm a woman. He don't care. He does not care who you are. He cares about one thing. That's destroying you. Oh God, hear me tonight. I'm telling you the truth. Satan desires to destroy you. Well, Brother Dale, he won't come after me. I could just sleep through the service. He will come. He does want you. Jesus, what did Jesus say? The thief cometh, period. Not maybe, not hope so, not could be, not maybe so. He said he comes. The thief cometh, period. He wants to rob you of your health. He wants to rob you of your blessing. He wants to rob you of your joy, your peace, your family. He wants your sons. He wants your daughters. He wants your family. He wants your friends. Satan has a desire tonight. There's something that he wants to achieve. He wants to rob you of every redemptive blessing that Jesus Christ died for to give to you. Satan wants your blessing. Satan wants your position. He wants to exalt himself above the sons of God. His desire is to destroy you. I don't care how old you are, how ugly you are, how rich you are, it don't matter. He wants you. What did Jesus tell Peter in Luke 22:31? He told Peter, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He wants to break you down, Peter. He wants to overthrow your faith. You see, a Christian with no faith is a dead Christian. Works is not faith. He wants to rob you of your faith. Peter, listen to me, Peter. Simon, Simon, listen to what I'm telling you. Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you. An eternal agitation. He may sift you as wheat. Brother Brown talked about the African lion. Remember what did Peter say about him? He comes as a roaring lion. The prophet talked about the African lions. Said he prowls. He walks about. He prowls. Until he finds something to eat. A lion will kill anything. Urban said he'd just soon have missionary chops as anything else. But when he eats, he'll go over and lay down. You can walk right over him. And he wouldn't bother you. Ain't that something? I'm talking about a roaring lion. An African lion. But once he eats, the prophet said, you can walk right over him. He said, oh, he might raise up and roar to scare you off. But he's eaten. He's already eaten. So you can walk right up on him. Because here he says this, and I want you to understand, he makes this point. Because he's eaten, you can walk right up on him because he's eaten. That's all. He uses his great strength just to kill and to eat. So Satan's strength, Satan uses his strength to seek you out, to destroy you. All his strength, oh God, all the Satan's strength is to destroy you. Satan has tactics. He has devices that he uses to try to defeat you in this contest of strength. Now remember, the prophet said Satan has a great strength. But don't miss this. Satan has a great strength, but he does not have power. There is a great lesson right there. If we can catch that concept, Brother Terry, we'll understand the enemy a little bit better. Satan has a great strength, but he has no power. The prophet said Satan has no more power. He's only a bluff. The only strength he has, the only strength he has is his ability to bluff. No power. You know, it's like sometimes, forgive me for even bringing it in the pulpit, but like poker. You know, you don't have to be a card expert to be great at poker. You just have to be a good bluff. There's many times that people have won great sums of money when they had no hand, they had no matches, they had nothing, but they were able to bluff the contestant. When he had a 100% winning hand, he couldn't even lose, but he lost because he let the enemy bluff him. Satan has no power, but many times he's successful because he bluffs you in believing. He has no more power, only as he can bluff with. If he can bluff you into it, all right, you'll have to have it. Like Brother Jewel preached, well, you know, I didn't talk to Brother Jewel, but he preached so much in line of what I was studying for this weekend about the box of rattlesnakes. If he can get you to sign for them, they're yours. If he can bluff you into it, you'll have to have it. But legally, he has no power at all. Every power he had was taken from him at Calvary. There's where the price was paid. He's nothing but a bluff. And he wants you to listen. He wants you to listen to his bluff. Probably say, well, all right, if that's what you want to do. If you want to listen to the devil, if you want to listen to him telling you you'll never be no better, if you want to listen to him to tell you you'll never overcome that lust, if you want to listen to that, well, that's all right, that's up to you. But you don't have to listen to it. If you listen to it, if you believe it, it's because you chose to do it. Well, it's going to get quiet, but that's all right, friends. Because I want you to understand Satan's tactics. He's got no power over you, but he is a great bluff. He has no power at all. Every power was taken from him at Calvary. That's where the price was paid. He's nothing but a bluff. If you want to listen to his bluff, well, all right. But you don't have to. You're free tonight. He has made you free. So then where is Satan's strength? It's in his ability to use his trickery and his devices to try and defeat you. Every device Satan uses is to destroy your faith in God's word. To discredit, to weaken, to get you looking somewhere else. We'll try herbs, we'll try essential oil, we'll try anything except what God gave us. If he can get you looking somewhere else, remember when Elijah went away? He said, Elijah, what do you want? He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. He said, you've asked a hard thing, but nonetheless, if you see me when I go, you can have what you asked for. And what did the prophet say it made Elijah? It gave him singleness of eye, singleness of heart. He kept his eye on the promise. What does God want us to do? Don't look at the symptoms. Don't look at the weakness. Don't look at the fear. Don't look at the bluff. But look at the word of God. Keep your eye on the word. Amen. His attack. Listen, he says. Listen. His attack is what? To disbelieve God's word. That's his attack. There, can you see? The greatest battle ever fought. There's only two forces, Satan and God. And what's Satan's weapon against you? Listen to this quote. What is Satan's weapon against you? Is to try to get you to disbelieve your weapon. He don't even have a weapon. It'd be one thing if he had an M16. It'd be something else if he had an M203, a grenade launcher. It'd be something else if he had a 155 howitzer. But he ain't even got a weapon. The devil don't even have a weapon. The only weapon he has is to try to get you to disbelieve your weapon. Oh, glory to God. Don't you understand, friends? The devil ain't got a weapon, but you do. Oh God, you're about to see a white boy shout tonight. Amen. 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 What Satan's weapon against you is to try to get you to disbelieve your weapon. He disarms you. Listen real quiet now. He says, listen, if he can get you to disbelieve your weapon or believe your weapon is equivalent, if he gets you to believe that your weapon is not strong enough, he's disarmed you. Satan, Brother Larry, will try to talk you into believing that your weapon is equivalent to him, and he ain't even got one. You talk about a bluff. He ain't even got a weapon. And he's telling you, your weapon, my weapon's just as good as yours. Shoot, boy, I'll shoot back. But he ain't got no weapon. But if he can convince you that what you have is not good enough. You see, the devil, you know, people say the devil, every time he speaks, is he tells a lie. That's not all the truth. Satan quotes the word lots of times. But what makes it a lie is because he adds to it. So Satan will come and tell you, yes, God's a healer. But he won't heal you. After all, your cancer is the worst cancer that anybody in Happy Valley has ever had. Your blood pressure is the highest that anybody's ever had in East Tennessee. So, that just means it's a greater miracle. It all depends on how you look at it. You see, things don't happen to Christians. Things happen for Christians. Don't you see God will allow Satan to do these things that he can come and show us just how great he is, just how big he is, just how powerful he is. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but my God is an awesome God. Can I get an amen? My God is an awesome God. If he can get you to believe that your weapon is not strong enough, huh? Well, you've got a bad cancer. So, it's not badder than the Word. It's not greater than the Word. It's not bigger than the Word. After all, God said, I'm the Lord thy God who heals all. Not just the easy ones. Oh, God. He makes the blind see. If you don't believe me, ask Jessica. He makes the blind see. You don't believe me, ask Brother Paul. He makes the blind see. He makes the lame walk. He raises the dead. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Brother Danny was showing me a text that he got from Nicaragua. We was there in January, and we was at a sister's house, and she'd been wanting to have children, unable to have children. So she asked us if we would pray that God would open her womb, that she could have children. And so I asked her, well, how many do you want? I said, you want twins? We'll pray for twins. If you want twins, you want four at one time, we'll pray for four. Hey, if you're going to ask God, you might as well ask him what you want. I was in Arkansas one time, a sister came up and said, Brother Darrell, would you pray that God give me a car so I could come to church? I said, what color you want? She goes, blue. I said, well, sister, if you're going to ask God for a car, you might as well get the color you want. Can I get a... Is that too hard for God, Brother Paul? If he's going to give me a car, he might as well give me a blue car. So I asked the sister, I said, you want four at one time? You want twins? She said, I'll just start with one. I thought her answer was so, I just thought that was cute. She said, I'll start with one. Well, anyway, Brother Danny showed me a text Wednesday night that she's pregnant. Amen. Amen. Ask God for big things. Brother Bam said, God likes for us to ask him for big things. Don't you see, when you ask God for big things, you're telling God, I believe you're a big God. When he gets you to disbelieve your weapon, he disarms you. When you lay your weapon down, that finishes your fight. You're done. Hold that weapon. Don't lay it down. Amen. His tactics is to bluff. He tries to disarm you by discrediting God's word. How does he do that? By a bluff. Well, the doctor said it's the worst case he's ever seen. You know it's too, oh my goodness, you've had that for so long. Your mother had it, your mother's mother had it. Well, let it stop with you. Just because my mama had it don't mean I have to have it. My mama died of cancer. My Uncle Harold died of cancer. My Uncle Charlie died of cancer. My Papa Johnson died of cancer. My Aunt Frances died of cancer. My mama's whole family died of cancer. But I don't fear cancer. I don't ever even think about it. Just because they had cancer don't mean I'm going to have cancer. I'm standing on God's word. My brother Dale died 44 with a heart attack. My daddy had a heart attack at the age of 50, had open heart surgery. My brother Dwayne, he had open heart surgery at the age of 48, I believe it was, 47, something like that. 45, he was 45, had open heart surgery, had 7 stents. I got such a history of heart disease in my family, I have to go every 6 months to a cardiologist. And they say, are you tired? I said, are you kidding? I stay tired. I ain't worried about no heart attack. Just because they have that don't mean I have to have that. I stand upon God's word. Amen. You'll have to take that off of the devil. Don't let him put that fear in your heart. Don't let him lie to you that way. Don't let him convince you of that. Don't sign for those rattlesnakes. Don't do that. Stand on the word of God. Amen. Oh my God, hurry. Amen. Expose the Satan's bluff. Revealing his works. The book of Revelation, Brother Jewel quoted this Wednesday night. The attempted destruction of God's people and the discrediting of God's word right down to the time he's cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that the true people, if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. The devil knows that. The devil knows that. So what is he trying to do? He's trying to convince you you ain't in the army. Me. Satan's army brings disease, but God's army is commissioned to cast them out. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you love him? Amen. Satan's tactics is bluffing. He loves to bluff. It's one of his devices that he uses. Bluffing means to deceive or frighten. By pretending. You know who the great pretender is? Satan. Huh? Amen. To deceive or frighten by pretending to have more strength or confidence than is really true. He bluffs you by convincing you he has more strength, more power than he really has because he ain't got no power. Christ stripped him at Calvary. He's nothing but a bluff, the prophet said. Snorting and blowing. All thunder and no lightning. You know what thunder is without lightning? It's just a roar. And what is the devil? He is as a roaring lion. You know what another word for roar is? Noise. When I was in the army, I was on the guns, the 155 howitzer. I fired the big howitzer. We was direct fire support for the 82nd. We trained all the time for war. So he's constantly firing those guns. And, you know, they taught us in the army we was invincible. So I never wore hearing protection. And now I've got tinnitus. You know what that is? Ringing in the ears. I keep saying hello, but nobody's on the other line. My ears ring constantly. Especially at night when I'm in a hotel room or by myself and everything quietens down and I lay in bed, it rings so loud, it just about drives me crazy. You know what it is? It's a noise. And that's the way the devil is. It's just like ringing ears. It's just a noise. Just cast him down. He has no weapon. All he has is a bluff to get you to disbelieve your weapon. And your weapon is God's word. I want you to know tonight, because of Calvary, we're made of the stuff that don't bluff. You need to tell the devil, hey devil, I am made of stuff that don't bluff. Hallelujah. He can't bluff the word. He can bluff emotions, sensations, feelings, knowledge, reasoning, but he cannot bluff God's word. The word of God is not bluffed. It's true. Amen. Do you love him tonight? Another tactic Satan uses is reasoning. Reasoning means the process of thinking about something in a logical way in order to form a conclusion or a judgment. The ability of the mind to think and understand things in a logical way. You see, man thinks with his head, but a believer thinks with his heart. If Satan gets you thinking with your head, he will whip you with reasoning. If he can get you to see what you see with your eye, if he can get you looking at that twisted arm, if he can get you looking at that twisted leg, if he can get you looking at that high blood pressure, if he can get you looking at that sugar diabetes, if he can get you looking at your family history, if he can get you looking at the doctor's report. But I say, don't take the doctor's report, take Isaiah's report. Isaiah said, by his stripes we're healed. If Satan can get you to think with your head, he can deceive you by your emotions. He can defeat you by reasoning. Well, isn't it reasonable? If your daddy had cancer, you'll have cancer. If your daddy's daddy had cancer, you'll have cancer. Isn't that reasonable? He tried it on Eve in the garden, and it worked. And he's been using it ever since. It was successful in the garden. Satan come to Eve and began to reason against the word of God. The great armor that God had fortified his people with, he had placed them behind his word. If Eve had stayed behind the word, Satan's reasoning would have failed. But he started showing her what she could see with the eye. He got her to thinking with her head. When you think with your head concerning God's things, you're sure to lose the victory. Because God never gave us our head to overcome with. He gave us our heart. You said, Brother Darrell, he said the battle's in the mind. That's true, the battle is in the mind. But the victory lays in the heart. Amen. Amen. It's only reasonable that God wouldn't destroy you. Surely you'll not die. God knows the day you eat of this tree, you'll become like gods. But they're already like gods. They're already made in his image. You'll be just like God, but they was already just like God. He used reasoning. He lied to her through reasoning. And he still uses the same thing. And he's still successful with it. Reasoning. Reasoning against faith. Man lost his origin in the Garden of Eden. His relationship, his communion with God was cut off because of sin and unbelief. Unbelief in what? Adam failed to believe what God said. When he left the word, he fell by reasoning. Satan painted a picture to Eve and told her how much brighter it would be if she just discarded the word and looked over here to reasoning. But you see, there's a difference between reasoning and God's word. God's word is true. Reasoning is false. You can't reason out nothing. Our mind is not good enough or never will be to fathom God's eternal wisdom. People leave the message because they can't understand. They can't get it to line up with their mind. They can't find the articles, their mind. They try to reason it out. Oh, are you hearing me tonight? Our minds, listen, the prophet said, our mind, see, is not good enough or never will be to fathom God's eternal wisdom. Therefore, you can't reason it. You've got to believe it. God never laid the word out for us to understand. He laid the word out for us to believe. He never said, did you understand it? He said, did you believe it? Reason why you need the Holy Ghost today. Why you need divine healing today. All these fine doctors that we have. Why do we need a fivefold ministry? Huh? We've got the tapes. Isn't it reasonable that if he was the messenger to this age, we should all just listen to the tapes? Isn't that reasonable? As they say, I don't say it, but they say it. Isn't it better when it comes straight from the horse's mouth? But I personally don't think Brother Branham was a horse myself. But isn't it reasonable that we would have to listen to an evangelist? Man, evangelist preaching is a Dollywood weekend. We've got pastors. We don't need evangelists. But you see, that's reasoning. That's what the devil does. But he didn't give us one foe. He never gave us two foe. Brother Terry didn't give us three foe. He gave us a five-fold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. And every minister has a part to play. A five-fold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. Isn't it reasonable? But you see, that's not God's program. God said he would restore us back to the faith of the fathers. Why would we need another Pentecost? We're all civilized. Well, they were too. But you see, whatever God began with, whatever God gave them at the beginning, that's what he'll use at the end. The Alpha and Omega. What did he give them? He gave them the manifested word of God. And what does he give us in this hour? The word for this hour manifested among us. God said, I will restore. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. How tragic it is that that first stage did not listen to the Spirit. Instead, it listened to man. But thank God, in the last stage, there will be a group rise up. The true bride of the last day. And she will listen to the Spirit. And in that day of gross darkness, the light will return by the pure word. And we will return. We will return. We will return to the power of Pentecost to welcome back the Lord Jesus Christ. He will bring that church right back to Pentecost again to welcome back the Lord. Satan's tactics of reasoning. It's what he uses to reason. But we know our enemy. Because any enemy, any brethren, I have led away from the doctrine you see around here, but I've got to say this. Any enemy that reasons against, or any person, any church, any organization, any individual that reasons against one punctuation of God's word is your enemy. It takes the word to defeat the enemy. See what Cain did? He reasoned. What did Korah do? He reasoned. We cast down reasoning. We believe God no matter what anything else says. We believe God. We don't reason what God says. You can't reason with it. You have to accept it by faith. Anything that you know, you don't have to reason anymore. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he made Brother Paul's eyes to see. I don't know how he made Jessica's eyes. I don't know how he done it, but I don't have to know. I just believe it. I just thank him for it. I just know that he does it. I don't know how he does it. I just know that he does it. I accept it upon the basis of God's word. I believe it because God's word said so, and God's promises are true. Can we look at one more tonight just before we close? We've got some more tomorrow, but I want to look at this in the night. We'll close. Satan's devices. Satan's desire. He wants to cage you. A cage is a structure used to confine or hold one in. Satan's desire is to hold you prisoner. He wants to lock you into prison cells of lust. Prison cells of condemnation because you messed up when you was young and the devil has never let you get over it. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about tonight. people live under condemnation. Sometimes good sisters live under condemnation because they made a mistake. But the blood, hallelujah, the blood sets us free. Free of condemnation. Free of condemnation. It's under the blood. God don't even know that I ever done it. I said, God don't even know that I ever done it. Brother Branham said he was up at the Cincinnati Zoo. And he saw an eagle. You know the story. A big eagle that had just, they had just caught him. You know, I've been to places, I've seen eagles sitting in zoos. They just sit there. Reminds me of some people in church. They just sit there. Every once in a while they do this, maybe. But you see, this eagle wasn't that way. And the reason he wasn't that way is because the prophet told us. This eagle had just been caught. They had just caught him and put him in a cage. And I thought it was the most saddest thing that I'd ever seen. There, that great big fellow was laying there on that floor. And when I got up to where I could look at him, up where he was at, his great big wings laying out. And the feathers was all beat off of his head and around his neck and over the ends of his wings. And I looked at him, and he crawled across the cage. And he looked back across that cage like that, and here he come. And he hit that cage with his head, and the wings just flopping, and the feathers would fly, and he'd fall back, and he'd get up again, and he'd run again, and crash against that cage. His head was bleeding. He dropped way back like this, he'd look up. He'd fly just as hard as he could. He'd hit his wings, his head against it, fall back. He'd lay there, his big eyes rolling. He was looking up. What was he looking at? He was looking at where he came from. That's where I belong. That's where I belong. He was looking up. And I thought that's one of the saddest sights a man could look at. A heavenly bird, born to soar into the heavens. And here by the trickery and devices of man, he was caged up. A heavenly bird knows nothing about the ground hardly. He's got to live in the heavens. Ooh, God didn't call us chickens. God said, we're eagles. My children are eaglets, heavenly birds, born. Listen, friends, we are under the age. Is that right? We are under the age of the flying eagle. Notice they were four living creatures. The first three were all earthbound creatures. But the fourth creature, the fourth living creature, John tells us exactly. He just doesn't say it's an eagle. But he wants us to understand it is a mature eagle. You see, the difference between a mature eagle and an eagle is a mature eagle can fly. We are under a flying eagle anointing. You see, the first three ages, if they wanted to cross Jordan, they had to have some kind of way to get across, a boat, a bridge, or something. But under this age, don't you understand? This is the rapture age. This is the flyaway age. And we're under an eagle anointing. We're under a flying anointing. What did God tell John? And John was the top of the bride. He said, John, come up higher. Amen. He's got to live in the heavens. But the trickery and devices of man kept him from being what he was born to be. Don't you understand tonight, my brother, my sister? Satan's desire is to keep you from maturing. To keep you from becoming what you was born to be. I wasn't born to be a drunk. I wasn't born to be a liar. I was born to be a son of God. Well, glory. He was laying there looking up because that's really where he ought to be. That's where his heart longed to be. I don't know about you, brother, sister, but I long to see the power of God move among us in a greater way. I long to see what he said we would be. He said, what you've seen done these few times in my ministry will be done in its fullness in the bride. It'll lay dormant until that hour. Once more the world will hear from God. It'll be through his bride. For she is the final voice to the final age. Under her messenger, she will be the final voice to the final age. Longing to be where his heart belonged. But these bars was between him and that. And I thought that was sad. Till one time I saw mankind that God had created in his image. Caged into denominations and things. Didn't believe in divine healing. Caged into places where they couldn't be free. Heaven born, God sent spirits in them like that. But caging them up so they can't get out. Satan's hell house. Men and women walking on the streets immorally dressed in saloons. Caged down where they should be free sons and daughters of God. And they beat their brains out nearly against something. Trying to get free. Trying to satisfy a thirst that God put in them. The thirst after him. And they use drugs and they use alcohol and they use everything else. Satan through his devices is perverting their thirst. Said, if I'd had the power, if I'd had the authority, I would have bought that old eagle and I would have let him go free. Amen. I would have let him go where he wanted to go. Yeah, right. Amen. Horrible thing to be caged up. How horrible it is to take a son or a daughter of God and to cage him to a place to where their spirit really wants to go out there and do something. Somebody says there's no such thing as divine healing. You can never be well. You can never get over this problem. You can never have victory. There's no such thing as the power of the Holy Ghost. Those days is gone. They're lying to him, Satan, lying! Trying to cage them down, putting them in cages. Let me tell you, there is a freedom. You see, the prophet may not have had the authority to unleash that cage. But I want you to understand, somebody in that park had a key to that cage. There was somebody in that park had the ability to open that cage and let the eagle go. And I tell you tonight, there is someone in this building who has a key. Who can unlock the devil's cage and let you out. Brother Erica, sisters, come tonight. Listen, let me read this. We'll close. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Somebody writes Brother Branham a note. They write him a question that they had fallen. They had made a mistake. They had failed God. And they wrote Brother Branham a question. Said, yes, sister, brother, whoever wrote this. If you have fallen down here, listen to me tonight. Maybe you're in this state. Maybe you've messed up. Maybe you've done something bad. But listen to me tonight. If you've fallen down here, that don't mean you're lost. I want you to understand that tonight, young person. I want you to understand that tonight, daddy, mama, whoever you are. If you have messed up, that does not mean you're lost. The devil's lying to you. The devil's telling you that it's over. That's a lie. Don't you understand? If you feel that pull in your heart, that's the evidence God still deals with you. It doesn't mean you're lost. You're just an eagle that got into a pen. You're all caged up down here in sin again. You don't want to be there. That's the reason you're looking upward. There you are, old Brother Branham. I once lived up there. Is there any way here? Yes. Yes. Is there any way I can get back up there, Brother Branham? Is there any way I can step out of this cage, Brother Branham? Is there any way I can go free, Brother Branham? Brother Branham says, yes. And he tells this story. A little boy walking around behind the farm. And the farmer had caught an old crow to keep him out of his corn. He had tied the old crow up. They could only fly so far. Every time he'd take off, that rope would catch him. He couldn't go no further. He'd have to come back on the fence. And the little boy walking around, the old crow, just about starved to death. And others, the prophet said, would fly over other crows. They'd say, come on, Johnny Crow. Come on, buddy, you can do it. And every time he'd try, that thing would grab his leg. So one day, a little boy walking around the farm, he saw the old crow about starved to death and felt sorry for him. I'm so glad one day. I'm so glad he had compassion for me. Brother Martin, I was in a mess. I was in a mess. I drove right by this church. As a young boy, I saw you up here. But the devil told me I wasn't good enough. I drove by, saw you. I was on my way back to Fort Bragg. I'd come right by here. The devil says, you're not good enough. It's not for you. I remember one time, I was over in North Carolina. I was listening to a rock and roll station going through Boone, North Carolina. And all of a sudden, the radio faded out. And Brother Branham faded in. And he began to preach. And I listened to it, Brother Larry, until I got put out of the signal. God's grace. Little boy found the crow. He felt sorry for him. He untied him. The crows flew over and said, Johnny Crow, come on, we got to go south. It's getting cold. But he said, I can't fly over. I can't fly. I can't fly. I can't fly. He'd walk around that fence post. They'd follow us. Come on, Johnny. Come on, Johnny Crow. You can do it. Let's go south. Winter's coming. You're going to freeze to death. He'd say, I can't do it. You see, he'd been tied for so long that he thought he was still tied. And maybe the devil has bluffed you. He has reasoned with you. He has lied to you and told you, you've sinned away your day of grace. You have this sickness. You'll always be sick. You're blind. You'll always be blind. Till you think that you're tied to your problem. You're tied to your situation and you can't get out of it. You see others being delivered. You see others shouting. You see others praising. And you try and you get so far and you come back. You think you're still tied. You're letting the devil tell you you're still tied. Remember, I said, you may think you're still tied. Brother, sister, whoever wrote this question, you may think that the devil's got you tied down, but he's lying to you. He is lying to you. He is lying to you. There was a man one time who came to earth. His name was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He untied you. Don't you believe it? You don't have to stay down there. No, sir. You're free. That's right. He died in your place to take away your sins. Just believe on him. Just believe on him and flop your wings and fly away. You may think you fail. You may think you've sinned. You may think there's no hope. You may think you're never going to get well. It's just the devil's cage. But I tell you tonight, Jesus Christ has opened the door. The door is open. You're free. You're free. You're untied from sickness. You're untied from condemnation. You're untied from your fast for failures. You are free. I have come to give you life, to give it more abundantly. You are free. But you see, it'll do you absolutely no good unless you believe it. you are free. Brother, I don't feel free. Never said that. Well, I think there's your problem. Quit thinking and just receive it. Just receive it. How long are you going to repent for something that you done 20 years ago? When are you going to accept your forgiveness? When are you going to accept your healing? When are you going to accept your deliverance? And step out on God's word because God said so. And you're made from stuff that don't bluff. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord Jesus. I remember, Lord, when I was in the army. When the day of my discharge got close. I think, if I remember right, Lord, I started a short time calendar at 168 days. And every day I would mark an X on that calendar. I was one day closer to turning in my uniform, getting in my car, and driving off the post at Fort Bragg. 67, 65, 64, 63. Oh God, that feeling, Lord, when my day of discharge came, I shook hands with my fellow soldiers. I saluted my commanding officers that got in the car and I drove. I passed the sign that said, "Thank you for visiting Fort Bragg. Drive safe. Come again." I was free. Oh God, there's people here tonight, Lord. Their prayer requests. There's people not in the service tonight because Satan has put them in a cage. Migraine headaches. Aches and pains, arthritis, sicknesses, Lord. Situations, drug addictions, God. Fellow brothers, Lord. My fellow soldiers, Lord. Some of them addicted to alcohol. Addicted to internet. Oh God. Satan tries to lie, Lord. He uses these things to keep us off the word. To believe anything but what your word said. And Lord, it don't come in a scream. It don't come in a shout. It don't come in a chill bump. Lord, as I prayed for someone one time and they told me later, I felt like I would feel more. I thought I would feel more. I knew right then. They failed to get what they asked for because they was basing it all on some feeling instead of the word of God. So Lord, there may not be a big scream tonight. I wasn't exactly sure how this would end, Lord. But Father God, whether we're on our feet jumping up and down or whether we're sitting quietly, it does not change the word of God. And the power that's loosed in the name of Jesus, it breaks every chain tonight. Father God, Satan's hell house, the doors have been torn off. The people can go free. Oh God, I wonder how Barabbas felt that day. When they opened the cell door, he thought, surely this is my crucifixion. This is my death. But when they swung that door open and they pulled out that decree, said, "By order of Pilate, you're free. You can go, Barabbas." How could is me. It's a trick. You want me to leave so you can spear me in the back, so you can tell everybody I tried to escape. And Barabbas tried to escape, but I killed him. So you could be a Hebrew. You killed Barabbas. No, Barabbas, no trick. You're free. You can walk right out the door. Go wherever you want to go. You're free. How could this be? Oh, Father, the prophet said it so well to us. How could this be? They said, come here. Look out the window. You see that man hanging in the middle? He took your place, Barabbas. Jesus, Barabbas, you have been made free by Jesus of Nazareth. You're free. Oh, Lord God, may the people hear that tonight, Lord. May they receive that tonight, dear God. Give them a backbone, Lord, to take the word of God and to stand tonight and challenge their enemy and punch him tonight and say, Satan, that's my property. That belongs to me. Get off my land. Get off my property. Get away from my children. I come in the name of the Lord God of Israel. I come in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, may we take the word tonight, Father. May we take the word tonight, Lord. Step out free. For we have been untied. Untied. I have been untied. Granted tonight. If you're here, friend. If you can believe God's word tonight. If I've been able to show you in His Word, I wonder tonight, can you catch that revelation? Can you catch what He's done for you tonight? And cast down every symptom, cast down every fear, cast down every reason tonight, cast down everything that's contrary to His Word tonight. Can you stand to your feet tonight and say, I am free? The blood of Jesus Christ has made me free. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are free tonight. We break every chain. In the name of Jesus, you are defeated tonight. You're nothing but a bluff. Come out of the people. In the name of Jesus Christ tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ tonight. I claim my healing. I claim my deliverance. I claim my victory. I claim my children. I claim my joy tonight. I claim it tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. I have been untied. I have been untied. I am untied. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been set free. I've been set free. Amen. 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 I'm running the race. I'm running the race. I'm running the race of faith tonight. I am an eagle. I am an eagle. I'm going to set my wings. I'm going to do what God called me to do. I was born to fly. I was born to rise above the barnyard. I was born to rise above the dust of humanity. I was born to rise into the heavens of God's revealed word. I was born as a son and a daughter of God. I was born to be victorious. I was born to rapture. I was born a son of God. Hallelujah. Satan, you have no hold on me. Satan, you have no power over me. Satan, you're nothing but a bluff. And I rebuke you tonight, you spineless creature, in the name of Jesus Christ. For the glory of God tonight. For the glory of God tonight. Amen, amen, amen. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. How about you tonight? I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed. Hallelujah. He loosed me from alcohol. He loosed me from drugs. He loosed me from my own self. He loosed me from my own destruction. He has made me free. He has made me into His image tonight, that I might reflect Jesus Christ, that the world would see Jesus Christ once more through me. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Receive Him tonight. Cast down Satan tonight. Cast him down tonight. Let Him rain upon you. Let it rain upon you tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. 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 Glory be to God. Well, if you can't help me, well, please don't stop me. Get out of my way. Oh, don't try to block me. I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith at the finish line. I'm gonna see God's face. Don't stop me. Oh, get out of my way. Oh, you don't try to block me. I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith at the finish line. I'll see God's face. Well, if you can't help me, oh, please don't stop me. See God's way. Sing it like you believe it. If you can't help me, oh, please don't stop me. Oh, get out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run, when I'm running by faith at the finish line, I'll see God's way. Runners, the baton has been passed to us. There is no age behind us. We're going across the finish line. We're going to be victorious. We're going to take the word. We're going to run the race. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, come run with me. Come run with me tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, boo, devil. Boo, devil. Boo, devil. We are victorious. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. Predestinated, elected, chosen. Oh, hallelujah. Anointed, placed in this hour. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Goodbye, high blood. Goodbye, low blood. Goodbye, no blood. I'm moving on. Hallelujah. Goodbye, arthritis. I'm going to start moving that joint a little bit better. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I ain't got no sugar no more. I've had a blood transfusion from Calvary. Took all the sugar blood away. Oh, hallelujah. I've got blood. I've got good blood tonight. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to see a little bit better tomorrow, and a little bit better the next day, and a little bit better the next day. I'm going to see, saw you in the future. You look much better than you do right now. Just start praising Him. Just start walking towards Him. Just start walking towards you. Don't look at the symptoms. Don't look at the problems. Just look to the promise tonight. Let Him rain upon you tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, open the windows of heaven, Lord. Rain down upon us tonight. Hallelujah. Let it rain, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I feel good, don't you? Amen. Let it rain, friends. He pours His anointing out upon us tonight. God always comes and confirms His word. Let it rain. Open the windows of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the windows of heaven. Let it rain. Gates of heaven, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain, let it rain in my soul, let it rain in my soul. Floodgates of heaven, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus, tonight. Let it rain in my soul, Lord. Water your word, Lord. Let it bring forth much fruit in my soul, Lord Jesus. God, I receive my healing tonight. I receive my forgiveness tonight. I receive my victory tonight. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I am free. I am free. Oh God, that day of proclamation when it said on a certain day at the rising of the sun, the slaves of this nation would go free. The black man, the white man, the red man, the brown man, every man that was a slave could go free on that day, Lord. Father God, how they moved towards that mountain to be there at the rising of the sun. Some of the younger ones that were stronger could run ahead. Some of the older ones couldn't quite move that fast. They had pitchers in their pockets of loved ones. Said, here, take this pitcher. Take it to Paul. Take it to Mother. Identify that pitcher with the rising of the sun. I want them to be there. I want them to be there. And they run ahead. Others coming behind. Wave after wave moving towards that mountain to see the rising of the sun. To see the day of their freedom. And when they climbed that mountain, perhaps the younger ones got there first and was standing there at the breaking of the sun, and the rays begin to come, or the darkness begin to move back, and they begin to cry out, "We are free! We are free!" And they begin to cry down to the mountain, "Pass it on! Pass it on! The sun is up! The sun is up! We're free! On down and on down!" Until the report spread throughout all the land, "We are free! Oh God, the rising of the sun! We see the rising of the sun! It's made the proclamation, we are a free people tonight! We are free! Oh, who the sun has made free is free indeed! Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus! Go with your people now, Lord, we pray tonight. Bring us back in the morning, Lord. Bless the services over in South Carolina, Brother Donnie and them preaching there. Bless it in a great way. Those who attended, Lord, bless them, Lord. Give them traveling grace, God. Bless the little bride around the world, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word tonight. Oh, God, it's so rich. Thank you, Lord, for giving us these things and the message that we can use, that we can understand what Satan tries to use against us, that we can be wise, dear God, able to combat him, Lord. Oh, God, grant it, Lord, I pray. As we look at these others in the morning, Lord, may we see a clear picture of just what it is that Satan's desire is, Lord. He's got one goal, that's to get us off the Word. If he gets us off the Word, we're defeated. But as long as we stay fortified behind that Word, the Word is victorious. Oh, God, go with your people tonight now, Lord. May there be testimonies today, Lord. In the morning, may there be a testimony, God, without a sensation, without an emotion, simply because they took you at your Word. Father, may they see those little things that in the morning, Lord. May they notice there's a difference, God. Father, I think, Lord, down in San Carlos that year, me and Brother David Siler had that outreach meeting. Those Apaches had it under an old brush arbor. And I remember that man, Lord, he's in his 60s. Typical Apache. Bandana hair to his shoulders, dark, wrinkled. Come walking up with an artificial arm and an artificial leg. Had an artificial left arm and an artificial right leg. He'd been drinking, Lord. I could smell the alcohol on him. He come up and laid his head on my shoulder and began to cry. He said, "I don't want to hate no more. I'm tired of hating. I've hated all my life." He said, "Lead me to that Jesus you preached about tonight." Lord, I looked at him, Father, and my heart broke. I thought, poor old fella. Took his land away from him, put him out here on this reservation. Then they drafted him into the army, no doubt, and he lost that arm and leg in Vietnam, fighting for a country that put him on a reservation. Thought the poor fella just bitter. He said, "I don't want to hate no more." Father, that night he wept the tears. My shirt was wet where he cried on my shoulder. About a month later, I was talking to Brother Kevin down there. Asked about the old fella. He said, "Brother Darrell, he come to church real good." He said, "But he quit coming here just a while back. He quit coming." I said, "Oh, no, Brother Kevin, don't tell me that." He said, "Yes." I said, "What happened, Brother Kevin?" He said, "He took sick and died, Brother Darrell." He said, "I went down to his house to see his family." They said, "Kevin?" He said, "After he went up there to that meeting you had," said, "he was different." He said, "He died so peaceful." And I said, "Kevin, how did he lose that arm and leg?" He said, "Brother Darrell, he lost it in Vietnam." And I thought, oh God, your mercy, your grace, just down to the closing moments of the man's life, and you call him out of hate and bitterness, called him out of the cage that Satan had him in. What a loving Father you are. We love you tonight, Lord. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, dear Lord. Go with your people now. Bring us back safely in the morning, Lord. Thank you for this presence that we feel right now, Lord. Just thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of the Lord tonight. Do you love him?
tonight. What a wonderful. Amen. Praise the Lord. So spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. You were born for the valley. You were born to soar in the sky. Don't let your trials get you down. Drive your spirit. Dismissed in the name of the Lord. God bless you. See you in the morning. Little Eve.